and the Mohawk Trail, which goes east and west. Now, for generations before anyone had lived in America, any whites had lived in America, the Indians followed these trails. And they crossed at a point not far from where we live, up in near the Vermont, Massachusetts, New York junction. Well, when the whites got here, they got in the same habit as the Indians. They followed these trails. If they wanted to go north, they took the Appalachian Trail. If they wanted to go west, they took the Mohawk Trail. Pretty soon, they built stone fences along these trails, and they made roads so that wagons could go over them. They could ride on horseback. And then, some years later, they paved the roads. They put macadam and cement on the roads. These are folkways. It's the same thing as when you cross the lot to get over to the store. You make a path, and after years go by, everybody walks on that same path. That's called a folkway. Now, you may think, well, this isn't very important to me, but let's say we suddenly obliterated those trails, the Appalachian Trail, the Mohawk Trail, the trail that goes from here to Valdosta, or to Gainesville, or over to Jacksonville. It would stop commerce. Everything would stop. We couldn't even live without these folkways. These are a part of us, where there are roots. So that when you listen to folk music, when you listen to an ordinary family that sits up here and sings, don't you get any ideas about the glitter of show business. This is something that's part of you. It's your heritage. And when it stops, something in America stops. I'm going to play a tune for you this morning. It's a buck and wing. Now, some of you will remember seeing a buck and wing. That this is even before the ones that you saw. This is one that goes way back to the beginnings of the of what they call the buck dance, or the buck and wing. And this dance, one dance alone, led into the development of jazz because it had a syncopated beat to it. I'd like to play you one of those old buck and wings. It goes clear back to 1800. Now we even have some buck dancers up here. Can you hear me talking on this mic all right? Okay, fine. My grandmother, Annie McManus, came to this country about the time of the Revolutionary War. She was singing an Irish tune or a Scottish tune that she learned in Ireland called Dumbarton's Drums.
Johnny,
She lived with her father and her mother, Serene. Her age it was red, and her hair was 16. Now this maid had a lover who close by did dwell, bald-headed in both feet and toothless as well. Says he, "Fly with me to the light of yon star, for you are the eye of me apple, you are." Says this maid to her lover, "Be gentle and wise. Army father will scratch out your nails with his eyes. If you love me, you will not bring me to disgrace," sighed this maid as she buried her hands in her face. And when she refused him, he knocked down this maid, and quickly he opened the knife of his blade. He then slit the throat of this damsel so fair, and he drug her around by the head of the hair. And just at that moment her father appeared. He gazed on his daughter with eyes in his tears. Then he seized that base villain by the hand with his throat, and he shot him with a horse pistol raised up from a colt.
To have you hear Marty play a banjo tune. When Evelyn and I were married almost 25 years ago.
25 years today.
Yes, as a matter of fact, this is our wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
24 years, she tells me. Anyway, we went on a trip up through the Northwest, and on our way we stopped to visit my grandfather, who was a very old man at that time, in his 90s. And he fell in love with Evelyn, her singing and everything, and so he tried to teach us all the tunes that he knew. One of the songs he couldn't sing. It became very sentimental about it, and he would sing a few bars and he would cry a little bit. And this tune was called The River in the Pines. Well, some 15 years later, we heard a group from Phillips, Wisconsin. Their names, they called themselves the Wisconsin Lumberjacks. And by golly, they sang the same tune. But they only knew a snatch of it. They didn't sing the whole thing. And so we still looked and looked for the words to this song. And we were up in Canada, in Toronto, about a year and a half ago. And there we learned three more versions of it, enough versions that we got the entire song and now have it so that we can sing it again. And Martha sings it. It's called The River in the Pines. Get your banjo under a little bit.
Thank you.
thing shall perish from under the sky. Music alone shall live, music alone shall live, music alone shall live, never to die.
Sorry we're late. We got a little late start this morning. That was Foggy Mountain Breakdown, and we've got a freedom song for you here. This song is called Road to Freedom.
Over there.
next song is a Judy Collins favorite, and it's about a bottle of wine, and that's its name, Bottle of Wine.
Bottle of wine, fruit in the vine, when you gonna let me get sober? Let me alone, let me go home, let me go back and start over. Let me go back and start over.
Well, a little hotel, all that we have, cold and dark as a mine. Blanket so thin, I lie there in winter. Got a little bottle of wine.
Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine. When you gonna let me get sober? Let me alone, let me go home. Let me go back and start over.
Preacher will preach and the teacher will teach. Mine will dig in the mine. I ride the rods, trusting in God, hugging my bottle of wine.
Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine. When you gonna let me get sober? Let me alone, let me go home. Let me go back and start over.
Pains in my head and bugs in my bed.
This next song is a join-along song. Some group did it here last year. I believe it was the Olivers. And we'd like to do it again. It's called Glory, Glory. And please do help us out in the chorus. It's the same line over and over again. You can't miss it. So do join in.
preacher's going to get to do something here today. It's my turn to holler right now.
Okay, we'll move these out this one. Is it better? Like this. And the picture-taking fellers can do a little better job.
All right. Hmm. Let me get it here.
Okay. You all remember that this is the recording mic. Mm-hmm.
My name's Frank Cunningham. I'm the head of this motley bunch, and I'm from Arkansas. And I'm going to holler you one called Old Slewfoot. Very much. We really appreciate that. My partner over here with the other white shirt on. His name's Mike Anderson. He's from North Carolina, and he's fixing to sing one along with me called Come With Me Love. Go ahead and clap. He likes that.
These are the words that I said to my darling. These are body is broken. How silly am I was as the years pass my door. All the joy that I had are the memories token of the girl that I love and the words that I swore. Well, come with me, love, and we will wander across the blue mountain and the meadow so fair. For you know in the morning I'm gonna be leaving, but I will return.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to sing you a folk song, and most folk songs require a little bit of explanation to get you into where the song is going to take place. This happened a long time ago, back out in the West, when the country was young. There was a profession out there, an occupation. There were men that were cowboys and cowpunchers. There were also men who were buffalo hunters. They would go out and they would kill buffalo and skin them, bring the hides back, the bones, make fertilizer out of the bones. They would make a lot of money doing this, and they were called buffalo boys. Now, they'd stay out maybe 6-7 months of the year and come back into town, sell all their paraphernalia, and they have a big wad of money. They'd be walking down the street with this big wad of money in their hand, heading right for the saloon, you know, the local Red Eye Bar. And there they are walking down the street. The local young ladies, they had this practice, you know, that if they could catch this guy with his wad of money and marry him before he got to the saloon, well, they would, you know, have a nice nest egg to settle down. This is their story. The buffalo boy, a local young town girl. He's walking down the street.
When we gonna get married, married, married? When we gonna get married, my dear little buffalo boy?
Well, I guess we'll marry next Sunday, next Sunday, next Sunday. Yes, we'll marry next Sunday, that is, if the weather be good.
Now she's got him hooked, boy, she's got him.
What are you gonna ride to the wedding, the wedding, the wedding? What are you gonna ride to the wedding, my dear little buffalo boy?
Well, I thought I'd bring my ox cart, my ox cart, my ox cart. Thought I'd bring my ox cart, that is, if the weather be good. Don't want them ox to get wet.
Well, why don't you ride your buggy, your buggy, your buggy? Why don't you ride your buggy, my dear little buffalo boy?
'Cause the ox won't fit in the buggy, the buggy, the buggy. Ox won't fit in the buggy, not even if it'll be good. I thought I'd bring my children, my children, my children. Thought I'd bring my children, that is, it would be good.
Well, I didn't know you had any children, I mean, gosh, I sure didn't know you picked up, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I have 5 children. 5 beautiful, lovely, well-behaved, gorgeous little kids. Yes, I have 5 children. 6 is whether it be good.
Little song to a blues. Well, as we do, I do it.
Show you a few tunings on the five-string banjo. It's an instrument a lot of people, especially in Michigan, don't know anything about. First one is a G tuning, a little song called Buffalo Gals. Your open G tune, and that's what all your Scruggs pickers use. I'm strictly old timey, mostly because I can't Scruggs pick. Now you get up into the mountains, and you find oftentimes an old feller been sitting in his house, every night. You know, he doesn't have any TV, and He got a song that he likes to sing, he likes a melody of, but it doesn't fit a regular tune, and it makes it hard for him to finger. So he retuned the banjo. And one of the most popular tunings up in the mountains is the old modal tuning. Sounds like this. You get that funny sound in there, but you get a lot of good songs. One, for instance, Pretty Polly. It's an old ballad. Thank you.
Another tuning, you can't only go from just different tunings within a certain key. You go to all different tunings in a lot of different keys. Those two were sort of a G. Now we have a D. Now this is the modal sound in the key of D. It's just one string over. You hear that modal sound right there. You get a different kind of tune. This is one I made up called Honey Come Quick. Detuning. Sometimes when you get it wrong, it's called your off tune. It's a song I'm sure everyone will know.
Stay. take a stick of bamboo, you take a stick of bamboo, you take a stick of bamboo, you throw it in the water. Oh, oh, Anna. You take a stick of bamboo, you take a stick of bamboo, you take a stick of bamboo, you throw it in the water.
Given by a white man on the continent of North America. It is even older than the name of America itself. When Juan Ponce de Leon came here onto this peninsula 454 years ago, he immediately claimed the land for his Catholic Majesty, the King of Spain, in the ceremonial Spanish way. And it was, of course, necessary to have a name immediately, as in any christening ceremony. He didn't know what Saint's Day it was, because he had no priest with him. He couldn't wait to find out what the Indians called the land. But he did know that it was around Easter time, which in Spain is called Pascua Florida, or Feast of Flowers. Furthermore, the Spanish royal records tell us the land appeared to him very delightful, having many pleasant groves. And for these two reasons, he called it Florida. And so it stands today, changed by English-speaking tongues to Florida, but still the same name. By all odds, the most romantic on the continent, as well as the oldest. And I don't think it's too far-fetched to say that had the Spanish prevailed in the New World, it is quite possible that this entire continent would be known as Florida. For 250 years after that day in 1513, the Spaniards held this peninsula and sprinkled its map with their names. Those in their own language were mostly saints' names: San Juan, San Pablo, San Mateo, San Marco, and the like. And they tell us of the Spanish allegiance to the Roman Catholic Church. But some were descriptive of the land, like Canaveral, meaning canebrake or place of reeds. They kept some of the Indian names, and all of these, as far as we know, are descriptive names, though some of them, like the mysterious Wakala, we will never know, perhaps, what it means. It is now beyond translation because the Indian tribes who bestowed some of these names are extinct, and their language died with them. One cruel Spanish name, curiously enough, remained for centuries on the map as the only memorial to the little band of Frenchmen who dared to raise the French flag on this peninsula during the 1560s. The Spaniard Menendez, who founded St. Augustine in 1565, killed these Frenchmen to the last man, and he called the spot where he won his victory Matanzas, meaning butcheries or slaughters. The Frenchman's beautiful River of May, so named because they came upon it first in May, became again El Rio de San Juan, and all other names which they might have given on the peninsula died with them. In 1763, Spain gave up Florida to England as a ransom for Havana, and the names on the map began to tell new stories. The British translated some of the Spanish names so that El Rio de San Juan became the St. John's River, for instance, and San Augustine, St. Augustine. They changed some of them so that Bahia de Carlos, which had by an interesting era honored Carlos VI of Spain. I wish I had time to tell you about that interesting era. But that name now became Charlotte Bay in honor of the British Queen Charlotte, wife of the reigning George III. They kept others of the Spanish names, the British did, and they kept most of the Indian ones, corrupting them more and more from map to map, so that sometimes now we can hardly recognize them from as related to their originals. And they bestowed new names of their own, of course. Amelia for a princess of England, Hillsborough to honor a British viscount, and so on. After 20 years, though, England swapped Florida back to Spain for the Bahamas. And this time, Spain didn't last long either. The bumptious new United States took Florida over in 1821. But during that second Spanish occupation, the Spanish did give a few more names to them that remain on the map today. Most of them, like the beautiful Arredondo, are the names of Spaniards who held land grants from the Spanish king during that, from the crown of Spain during that period. Well, since 1821, when the United States took over, new names have crowded the map. Territorial years, the bitter Seminole Wars, early statehood, the Civil War, when a fifth flag, the flag of the Confederate States of America, flew over Florida. All of these periods are remembered in place names of Florida: Jackson, Duval, Walton, Osceola, Dade, Levy, Lee, and Dixie are some of these names. The the names of statesmen and soldiers, pirates and adventurers from many lands are among the names. In the late 19th century came the millionaire developers, Henry Flagler being one of the best known, and their names dot the map of Florida. About that time, also, Florida became very self-conscious, and what we might call advertising names began to be given. Winter Haven, Frost Proof, Winter Garden, and the like. It was at this point also that Florida's people began to rid themselves of such dubious names as Scratch Ankle and Shake Rag and Hogtown in favor of Milton, Melrose, and Gainesville, respectively. But a few folksy names still remain in obscure places. Two Egg, No Rum, and Sunday Picnic being three interesting examples. Such descriptive names as Mosquito and Rattlesnake tended to disappear also when Florida became eager to attract tourists. And there was even a reduction of the alligator names for fear it would frighten off the Yankees. But orange names have multiplied, and so it goes. But in short, the thousands of names now on the map of Florida, in these thousands of names, a scholar can read her whole history, the whole tangled history of the peninsula and its people, their ways and their wars and their ideals, and he can find in them a complete description of the land and its resources also. Put them all together and they make a sort of magic. Around them, particularly around the strange-sounding Indian names, the folk tales grow up like weeds. And nobody cares how true they are in fact, as long as they are true in spirit. For above all else, Florida has been a romantic land, and the place names help to tell us so. Miccosukee, Tallahassee, Okeechobee, Chattahoochee, Weewahitchka, Withlacoochee, Sopchoppy, Pahokee, Wakulla, Alachua, listen to them speak. These and all the other names written on the map of Florida since 1513 are her finest reservoir of folklore. Have you ever heard of the beautiful Indian princess called Suwanee, who gave her name to the river back here? Somebody made her up. She doesn't exist. The Suwanee River got its name this way. In the 16th century, there was a Spanish mission on its bank called San Juan de Guacara. And long after the mission was gone, the name lingered on the river. And on a British map of 1783, it is shown as the River San Juan de Guacara, or sometimes called the Little Saguana. Saguana is apparently a Spanish spelling of an Indian attempt to pronounce San Juan, and it's easy to see how Suwanee came from that. So half Spanish, half Indian, the name is a fitting part of Florida's romantic heritage, which Ponce de Leon so beautifully started off 454 years ago.
Thank you. We're going to sing. Uncle Tom is going to sing a song that my grandfather used to sing, and we've never done it over here before, but it's so we might forget it, but I don't think we will. It's called Pompey Smash, and you'll realize what period it is when we sing it. And this is dulcimer. It's a three-string dulcimer. I hope you notice it has four strings. And it was very hard to tune. I gave it the water treatment, and then I took a hammer to it. So if it's out of tune, you'll understand why.
Come, folks, and gather round me.
We're going to start again now.
Come, folks, and gather round me. I think it is the journey to tell you where I come from and where I got my learning. From down in old Virginia, where you're meeting all the great men. I'm Pompey Smash, one of the principals of state men. I am the second best, this side the sun. When I gushed out my chest, I would sway a half a ton. I will tell you of the fight that I had with Davy Crockett. He was half coon, half horse, and half skyrocket. I met him one day when I was going gunning.
Did
I? Where's your gun? Did he have his feet, and as the squirrel did grin, I sat aside and I laughed at him. Then Davy said, he surely must be dead, for I thought I saw the bark fly around the barman's head. So we went over there, the truth to the skimmer. There I found a pine knot big as Davy's liver. It is big as a pumpkin. Say to Davy Crockett, if you take this to skunking. Say, you black cat, you better not laugh, or I'll stand down before you're back and try to win half. And all my ammunition. I'll spy your ambition.
So we
both locked horns. Never, I never laughed so hard since the day that I was born. So we fought a half a day, and then agreed to stop it. Looking for our head, I found them both were missing, for he had bit off mine, and I was missing his.
We're just going to sing one other little song, and that's called the Quaker's Courtship. We learned this from a teacher that we used to have in school. When she felt real good-natured with us, why, she would go and chord on the piano and sing this song.
Now I get my, we've got my auto harp key. There.
Gotta get another pick. It's better. Sorry, it's kind of there. No, thank you.
Once there was a Quaker. need and wear it if thou art willing.
Oh dear,
oh dear me.
What do I care for you and your money? D-I-D-D-M, T-I-D-A. I want a man who call me honey. D-I-D-D-M, T-I-D-A.
Madam, I have both home and land.
Oh dear, oh dear me.
And all shall be as I command.
Oh dear,
oh dear me.
What do I care for your house and your land? D-I-D-D-M, T-I-D-A. All I want is a handsome man.
To just take a few minutes, if I may, Cousin Thelma. I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here because Cousin Thelma invited me. I've been coming here for several years. I used to be an entertainer, and I'd entertain people in a number of places, and I was doing it for, you might say, doing it for the devil. And after I was saved, I began to realize that Christian people need Christian entertainment. I used to entertain people that was looking up at the stars through the bottom of a whiskey bottle. The entertainment didn't mean nothing in the world. It didn't mean nothing to me except making the money. But now I'm saved, and I'm thankful for it, and I love to entertain Christian people. I think Christian people need Christian entertainment. So that's another reason I'm here today. Cousin Bill has invited me, and I'm here to entertain Christian people. I'd like to tell you why they call us the Florida Crackers. I don't know whether you know the history behind this or not, but the Florida Crackers is a phrase that started many, many years ago, back before I can remember. I think Frog over here might remember some of them. I was wearing three-cornered pants whenever he was roaming the woods of Florida. But anyway, back in years ago, the underbrush was so thick in Florida that you couldn't get into the cattle, and they would pop their whips. The Indians actually was our first cowboys. And the Indians would pop their whips and drive the cattle out of the swamps and the underbrush. down below Gainesville is what used to be Payne's Prairie. You couldn't get a horse in there. And they would pop their whips, and the fray started. You could hear those people coming. You could hear the cowboys coming from out of the woods, popping their whips. They wouldn't say that the cowboys are coming. They'd say the crackers are coming. And that's actually the way that the Florida cracker phrase got started. It was from people driving cattle in the open oak swamp and up in Georgia and Florida, and they call them crackers. That's Florida crackers. I was born and raised in Florida, and I can say that I deserve the title, Cousin Thelma, of one of the Florida crackers. I'll give you a little exhibition of just a little fancy whip popping here, just to give you an idea of... I better get these things out of the way here. I'll move these things because I need plenty of room when I get stretched out.
Watching the little said, stop it, let me ride. Rock the Lord, come and ease me. I'm back home on the other side.
In a daughter, make the most that's in a daughter. Lovers only care when you're young and fair. Amen, well a day when you're young and fair. You think that men are kind, daughter, soon